Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He is rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. It might be the very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome, dear friends, to the Saucer Pod and Dog Poet Transmitting, and yet one more broadcast from under the radiant touch of the Sirius Cluster and the Arcturian Brotherhood. There are many civilizations sending out a message of hope in these times, just as there are dark cabals of deception and disorder. One's ability to hear and comprehend the finer transmissions from afar, be that afar from without or afar from within, is more generally dependent on the age one finds themselves in. Things travel on rays of light, and they travel on wings of darkness, too. Sometimes there's more light and sometimes there's more darkness. It is all part of the never-ending drama of the human hearts and minds' pursuit of the ineffable, and the ineffable's pursuit of the human soul, separated from the source for the purpose of demonstration and discovery. All those splintered particles of the ineffable must gather back into itself again. And that is what it's all about. It can seem to be about all kinds of things, depending on what any particular splintered particle thinks it wants out of the process. Did I say the drama is never ending? It only seems that way sometimes. It does end, and then it goes into a composed holding pattern until it begins again. So in a way, it never does end. It only pauses, even though each particular cycle does end. Well, you see what I mean. It does and it doesn't, and that is how life and many of the objects and appearances here are also. They are and they aren't. It is and it isn't. It's a paradox and a conundrum and a few other things, and I think that is where Zen comes from. I don't have any use for Zen myself. It's not my medium, but it works well for others. We're different and we require different mechanisms for understanding what lies beyond our comprehension. Does that make sense? It doesn't, does it? It's actually funny. So is life, and it can be very amusing if you don't take it seriously, and more importantly, don't take yourself seriously. That can seem scary to a lot of people. How can you not take life seriously? After all, it is a matter of life or death, and sometimes even worse, if you're not paying attention. That would mean it's serious business, and if you don't take yourself seriously, then how are other people supposed to do so? This means we have a lot of very important people taking themselves seriously, and they hang out with each other and take each other seriously because it's a quid pro quo world in those circles. I had a recent experience where I told someone something, even though I could see that person was already very defensive about speaking to me, and I know for a fact it is because the fellow had bad information, and that information put me in a bad light. Luckily for me, I had eyewitnesses to my side of the affair and other evidence, but the thing with evidence and fact and truth and the meaning of life and whatever you want to talk about is the people can get very resentful about any of it because It doesn't fit in with the way they want things to be, and that is regardless of whether that is the way it really is. I've had to deal with this kind of thing many times. By this time, I'm pretty good at spotting it, too. It doesn't upset me as it once did. It isn't something I trouble myself about anymore because it's the way of the world and the people in it. You can't control other people. You can only control yourself. People can be as complicated as the world they live in, and they can be well liked by some and not by others because they don't behave the same way around others, and not everyone sees everyone else the same way. This is a delicate area of life, and we must take care not to offend the sensibilities of others if we do not share their affection for someone else, because our experience of them is different. It's chemistry, and chemistry varies a great deal. I have a rule that I operate according to with other people. There is a level of intimacy that you can achieve with everyone, and it changes based on the depth that is possible between you and another. With some people, hello is all you can say. It's all that's possible. And to go past that is not a good idea. With another, you might say, hello, how are you? And exchange rudimentary pleasantries. And you shouldn't go beyond that either, because that could be a problem for one or the other of you or both. It should be pointed out that nearly all of the good things and all of the bad things that come to us through people we know. Yes, bad and good things happen with complete strangers, but based on statistics, that's not the norm. With some people, a much greater intimacy is possible, and those are the ones who develop into your friends. But those who develop into your friends do not always develop into the friends of your other friends. And this is what makes living an art. And in these times, we are surrounded by a lot of bad art. Tolerance and understanding are of very great importance in this life. We're not going to get along with everyone or even like them. In some cases, this could mean strong aversion even. We have to know how to handle these relationships, and that starts with recognizing the limitations that exist in terms of the intimacy which is possible with any other person. Just because we have no business with someone, or even if they put us off through bad chemistry, there's no reason to develop an adverse relationship. Learn to say hello, or whatever is possible, and then go your way. It has taken me some time to learn this, and based on recent events, I could have been a lot more observant than I was, but that leads to another feature. Sometimes things are supposed to happen, and we don't know why that is, and we are not protected from them regardless of how observant we try to be. Like I said, there is a complexity to life, and that brings us to the most important feature in all of this. Everything that happens in our lives, no matter how seemingly insignificant, is a special dealing of God with our souls. Things happen for a reason, always. There are no random occurrences, regardless of how it may seem. Life is a choreographed symphony that passes from movement to movement under the baton of an invisible conductor. Everything moves on the reins of the mind of the ineffable. Sometimes it is simple karma playing out in the payment of debts outstanding. Sometimes it has to do with lessons and awareness gained. And, let's not be coy. It is always about karma playing out and debts being paid and fortune being reaped, also based on karma. And it always has to do with lessons and awareness being gained. We sure knew how to convolute around here, don't we? It seems to me that the first thing we must attend to is not to lie to ourselves, because then we create countless levels of a labyrinthine Byzantium, and the further it goes, the more detached we become from our true self, and the greater the size and complexity of our shadow self, which then begins to dance with all the other skeletons and creatures that populate the perpetual Halloween of this false light zone that is lit by the dark fires of collective desires that all coalesce in a burning wheel of unending birth and death, born of the infinity of unending desires for all the things They replace the one thing that we love but cannot find and do not recognize when it passes before our eyes so often, and not at all for great lengths of time, depending on how blurred the mirror has become. The more we lie to ourselves, the less capable we are of recognizing ourselves or others. And this deception starts very early in life, most especially in this Kali Yuga. So it is often the case that we do not see ourselves or others as we are through the whole process of life. We wander as strangers among strangers. Life has to do with self-discovery. But oh, how many other things we discover instead, and none of which we properly identify because self-discovery has not taken place. And that is because the world is not concerned with your self-discovery. In fact, does not approve of it. The educational system and the marketplace do not approve of it because self-discovery is a form of liberation, just as is self-realization, which is an aspect of liberation. If you are liberated, then you are not enslaved. And if you are not enslaved or confused or deceived or a great many other things, then the educational system does not profit. The marketplace does not profit. The government and religions do not profit. None of the agencies or corporations or what have you that depend on you being deceived and enslaved or confused profit. Their profit comes about through you being deceived and enslaved. And if you can't clearly see this because it is transparently displayed all around you, then where does that leave you? If you are not honest with yourself, you cannot see clearly. If you cannot clearly see yourself, you can't see anything else, as it is either because it's all colored according to what you have told yourself is so. There are basic rules of being that must be observed, or they will amplify your danger here. Think of it as how the foliage on a tropical mountain looks, or the beautiful greenery of a valley. From a distance, it looks lovely and welcoming, but when you get down into it, or up into it, you find it is tangled and overgrown, slippery and treacherous, with unseen declivities. Anything might be lurking in those places that you cannot see. The same can be true when you look into yourself. What are you expecting to find? What are you looking for? It has been said that wherever we go, we carry whatever danger there is within us. This is all a product of lying to ourselves and expecting to find relief, release, satiety, fulfillment, or whatever it might be in something we are after that we think we want, and we are the thing we want, and it is hidden in the undiscovered country of our unknown being. We are the offspring of the ineffable. What does the prayer say? Our Father, who art in heaven. Our Father. What does that make us? We get lost in the story being told and miss the meaning of the terms being used. Our Heavenly Father. Our Father, who art in heaven. I take this to mean that if we walk in heaven in our mind's awareness of our location, then the influence of our Father is direct. As has often been said here, heaven begins where your feet touch the earth. We must walk through the kingdom of God as if that were where we are, and that is accomplished through a mindset of certainty that we are in the kingdom of God and members of the kingdom of God. This is very clearly explained in the books of Joseph Brenner, The Impersonal Life, The Way to the Kingdom, and his other writings. What is it that true masters do that the rest of us do not do? They look upon everyone as equal members of the kingdom. They don't play favorites, although they might have them. Every true master is hosting the ineffable. It is what they discovered in the process of self-discovery. They discovered the indwelling divine, and that is the high destiny to which each of us are bound at different speeds and over different extensions of distance, depending on what it is that we need to learn before we get there. The idea of time and distance is an illusion. What we seek is closer than us, or closer to us than anything else. We are made of it. We travel through it. and it lives within us. It is everything after one fashion or another. What is it that we lack? We lack recognition of this, visceral recognition, not a separated intellectual understanding. There are different kinds of knowing, and most of them exist in a cloud of unknowing. Most of the time, we only think we know, and that is responsible for the world we think we see, and for the behaviors we engage in based on that. Talk about your vicious cycles. I realize how hard it is for so many of you in these times. Unseen forces are pressing down on all of us. These forces are probing for any weakness. They are probing for the most vulnerable link in the chain. The foundries of the Infernal Kingdom are going 24 hours a day like Saruman's orc factories at Isengard. The smoke is billowing everywhere in an effort to conceal the light of the Avatar that has come for the liberation of humanity. Humanity is tossing and turning in a restless nightmare sleep. It struggles for awakening, but the smoke feeds the state of sustained sleep. There is no telling how it'll turn out. We have to be optimistic, and we have to be diligent to seal the cracks through which devotion leaks into complacency and death. I'm stealing a line from one of my poems. We must above all endure. We must persist through every challenge and test, and there is only one thing that will make us capable of it, and that is love. And in the end, that is why love is so important, because only love will take you there. All right, my friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'll see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, persist and persevere to that joy and union which is beyond telling. As Scripture says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Believe it, my friends. Believe it, for it is truth. And so are you, should you persist and persevere. That's it. Hare Krishna. Greetings, my good friend, Lord Ganesh. Om Amitabha. Much love, Lady Nature. Allah Akbar. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Haru.
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when they get you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here, Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSync Radio Network of Stations.